Institute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
My name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast, Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You may have seen me knocking around TikTok and Instagram, but if you don't know me, this podcast is the best way to get to know anything and everything there is to know about me. When I was thinking of an idea for my podcast, I wanted it to be something really authentic. I wanted it to be something that reflected me, and I thought Unscripted was just that. I think everybody knows that's one thing that I definitely am. We all know I've had my fair shares of ups and downs, so whether it's love life or just a daily dilemma, I'm going to be here to help. I've probably gone through it. Each week, I'll be covering a new topic and asking you guys to send in your dilemmas for me to answer right here in the studio. There'll be new episodes available every Wednesday on the Go Loud app or wherever you guys get your podcasts. On this week's episode of Unscripted, we actually didn't really have a topic. We just talked about everything. So we talked about the election results. We discussed our Spotify Wrapped. We spoke about my nanny because it's actually the anniversary of her death today, RIP nanny. And we spoke about Sabrina and Barry, the scandal. And we spoke a lot about Cillian Murphy and Paul Mescal. So button up, girls. Hello, guys, and welcome back to episode 14 of Unscripted. You know, I asked Lauren when we came in, I was like, what episode are we on? I'll tell you why in a second. But when I came in, I asked Lauren, what episode are we on? She said 14. I nearly hit the deck. I forget week to week what episode we're on. And it feels mad that like we're 14 episodes in. Like, so anybody that's stuck around and listened since episode one to episode 14, that's like 14. And some of my episodes are like an hour and a half long. So it's probably around, what, like 20 hours of my voice? My God, I love you guys. I could not listen to my own voice for 20 hours. So fair play to you. But I was saying it to Lauren because I put up a question box today asking what guests you guys would like to see. I feel like I'm very uncool. And because I do social media myself, I feel like it's hard to gauge like who an audience wants to see. Do you get me? Because obviously I'm like, oh, I'll have my friends on. But like maybe my audience wants to see other people. And I think especially just because we're kind of getting to know the podcast audience, maybe the pod. I think I always just kind of think that the audience is the same as my audience on TikTok or Instagram, when in reality it mightn't be. We could have listeners that don't have TikTok or Instagram, or listeners that have found me through the podcast. So yeah, I asked you guys who you wanted to see. So if you have any suggestions, please message them to us on the Instagram page. It's at Unscripted Go Loud. But literally 90% of them was Alex. Alex. He is going to come on, guys, okay? It's a work in progress. Alex, do you know what? He just thinks that, like, I don't know what it is. He's just so hard to get to do anything. Like, you have to get him drunk. That sounds really bad. That sounds really fucking bad, okay? I don't mean it that way. But I mean, even when we were on Home I Drink, in order for Ellie to convince Alex to come on stage for 2 seconds, we had to get a drink into him. So I'm thinking to convince him to come in here, maybe we could like feed him with drink or something. I don't know. But I think he is going to be on very soon in the next couple of months. It's a work in progress, girls. He's just, even I'm doing Vlogmas at the moment, girls. And I actually commented last night because Anna-Livia's Vlogmas, I'm loving. Oh my God, Anna-Livia. Lauren, we should try get Anna-Livia. I love Anna-Livia. But even Anna-Livia's Vlogmas, Rory, her boyfriend, does be in the videos all the time. And I commented on it saying, Anna-Livia, can you ask Rory to give Alex lessons on how to be a TikTok boyfriend? Because when I tell you, this boy runs across the room. If I pull out the camera, he is gone across the room. He's, do you know what? He's shy, but I think he's like, he's a real lad as well. You know what I mean? So he probably is like, oh, don't want the boys slagging me, you know, that type of thing. But we are going to get him on. We will have him on. I promise you, Alex is going to be on the pod at some point. It's a work in progress, girls, okay? I've been working now for 14 weeks. Give me a couple more weeks, I'll get him, okay? But he's definitely not going to be a regular. That's for sure, because it's been hard enough to get him on one. God, that was a very long intro. That was really long. Anyways, we have some feedback from Aoife. Aoife, you have the same name as my sister. Lovely name, beautiful name. And it says, hey, Niamh, I'm a huge fan of the podcast, but missed a few episodes because I had a baby. Big congrats to Aoife, everybody. Well, I was about to say everybody say congratulations to Aoife, but how the fuck are you supposed to say it? I'm the one with the mic. Anyway, Aoife, congratulations. Was going through a bit of a downer and literally had nothing done around the house. Was catching up yesterday and today, and I just want to say thank you for all the laughs. My house is spotless and my mood has shifted completely. So real and relatable. Honestly, the best podcast out there. Just want to say a huge thanks to you and Lauren for the boost. Aw, Aoife, that is so sweet. So do you mean to tell me all I have to do to want to clean my house is put on my own podcast? I've been missing out on this the whole time. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that we were able to bring a little bit of light into your life. And big congrats on your baby. Is it a boy or a girl? You have to write in. See, this is the thing, girls. Yous write in and yous just tell me one detail of something that's very important. And then I spend the whole rest of the episode thinking, is it a boy or a girl? Like, I need to know everything. So fill me in, Aoife. I want to know. Message me on my own Instagram if you want to. And fill me in on all the goss. Big congratulations. And thank you for the gorgeous feedback. Guys, I think there's one thing that's just a given that we have to touch on this week's episode. So if you are a Fianna Gael or a Fianna Fáil stan, maybe click off now. But there is no, everyone's welcome here, okay? We're open to all opinions. Don't click off. I need the listens, okay? It's the results of the election. Girls, what the actual fuck is going on with this country? Do you know, I was watching it. You all know I'm big into politics. Like, I love, love, love politics. Get myself in trouble all the time because it's all I talk about. But I hyperfixate on it. I've told you that before. Like, I'm very hyperfixated on politics. So the election, when the exit poll came out, I was actually happy. Even though it wasn't like a massive difference between Sinn Féin versus Fianna Fáil Fine Gael, I was happy because I was like, okay, there's a difference. They're above. What the actual fuck? What is going on? I need to know. And you know what upsets me more? When you look at the age demographics of like who's voting for who, that really pisses me off because I feel like a lot of the people that are voting for like the same government back in, they're over 50. You just have a house. You just have everything. You just have a car. You just have €1 million in savings. What about the young people? Like, why do people not vote thinking of the young people? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Because my dad, for example, my dad is 50, but he would never vote for himself. He would be voting for me, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings. So I just find it bizarre that obviously, do you know what? There's a lot of young people too that voted the same government in. So I don't know what the hell is going on there. But yeah, me and Lauren were actually just saying before the episode started, who was it that said that quote that was really good?
It was Liam Cunningham.
Liam Cunningham. He said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting change. And I have to say, I agree. I really do agree. I think, do you know what? I was so bet into the election and I just had to stop watching it because it was ruining every single day of my life. It genuinely was. And look, I know there's probably some of you guys listening that voted for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I'm not one of those people that's like, I hate everybody that has a different opinion than me. But I think for me, the reason it's so sad, without getting into like personal stuff with my family, but like we have stuff going on in our family. There's homeless children in this country. There's people in poverty. My sister's in Australia. Like, it's just so hard to think that people are voting in the same people that caused all of that. And some of that affects members of my family. So it's very close to home for me. And I don't want to say too much because honestly, it's not my business to be telling on my podcast. You know what I mean? But I just think every child deserves a home and a safe space. And you know, even children and mothers like living with family members and stuff, and they don't have their own room, they don't, whatever it is, it just makes me so sad to think. And to think we have, is it 4 or 5 years more of this now?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, we have 4 years more of this. It really worries me. I was so like, do you know what's so upsetting, girls? I was like so convinced last week. I was like, no, we're going to do it. The young people, we're going to do it. We're going to pull it out the park for the country. But we didn't. I guess we tried. And I suppose the one thing that can be taken, I was actually looking today, and Fianna Fáil used to get like 40, 50% of the vote every election. And this isn't like going back years and years. It's gone back to the 80s, you know? So I think the fact that it's, you know, been fragmented, that they're struggling now even to get 20 is a good sign, and we're going in the right direction. And my dad said as well, my dad made a really good point. He said, Niamh, change takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, and it might be a couple of elections, but it will happen, especially with young people kind of having completely different experiences growing up than our parents. I know our parents love to let on that life was so fucking hard and, like, you know, they didn't have electricity and all this bullshit, whatever they'd be saying. But our parents, realistically, I know obviously not everybody's situation is the same, and a lot of people's parents did grow up in poverty and did grow up struggling. I'm not taking away from that. But what I am going to say is first time home ownership now is like 40 years old. Whereas in our parents' lifetime, like my dad built a house at like 20 fucking two. Like built a whole goddamn house. Like, you know what I mean? And you can't even picture a 22-year-old being able to do that. I think as well, probably maturity levels have differed between our parents' generation and ours. But that's because we're stuck at home for so much longer. So it's taken us longer to grow up, essentially. Whereas our parents were having babies, moving out, everything in their early 20s. We're still kids. Like, I still feel like a fucking kid now, even though I do live out of home. But we're still so heavily reliant in this generation on our parents. And I feel like previous generations maybe didn't have that. And I do think that's a lot to do with the fact that we're at home a lot longer. And I actually read a study recently about the trauma that being stuck at home in your 20s and 30s causes to a person. Because obviously it takes away from your sense of identity. You may need to live under rules that you shouldn't really have to live under because it's your parents' house. You know, and just not having your own space. And in terms of independence, it's so essential. Like, I know me, I did not grow the fuck up at all. Even I still haven't really, but I didn't even grow up in the slightest bit until I moved out of home. So I think it's really important for people's independence that they have that opportunity, you know. And I know people will go, oh, well, there's HAP and oh, there's social housing. Yeah. Have you seen how long the council house list is? Because I'm pretty sure it's like 10 years. Like, I'm actually pretty sure it's like 10 fucking years, which is just a joke. Like, it's an absolute joke. The whole system is a joke. Sorry, lads. As you can tell, I'm like extremely, extremely worked up about this. But yeah. I'm trying to think, can we talk about TDs as well, getting lifted up when they win their seats? Can we just ban that? Honestly, because it made me cringe. Like, honestly, it really made me cringe. I don't want to say too much because I know Micheál Martin was on Talking Bollocks. So, you know what I mean? I don't want to say too much, but it really, really cringes me out, especially Micheál and Simon. Sorry, lads, no offense, but I don't know why. It's just like, how are these men in suits being lifted up by other men in suits? You know what I mean? It's just so out of pocket. I think it's because we're so used to watching them in The Dáil as well.
Did you see Brenda Dennehy? You follow Brenda, right?
Do I?
Oh, you know Brenda from Left on Red.
Oh, Brenda!
Yeah.
Fuck's sake, yeah, of course I know Brenda. Sorry, Brenda, if you're listening.
She did like a top five election lift.
Yeah.
On her Instagram.
Oh, no way.
So good. It was just like, you know, the best ones or whatever.
Yeah.
And the man she gave number one to was class. I can't remember who he was. I think he was a TD down in Tim. But it was very, very funny. Like, it's just like he prepared himself for the lift and all. Like, it was so cute, but so funny at the same time.
That's the thing, but it cringes me out. It really does. Like, I seen Micheál Martin's one. And like, it's the fact that they plan that in advance. Like, they go into that being like, if I get elected now, you just have to lift me up, because you could see Micheál tapping his son to lift him up. I was like, what is going on?
Up, lads. Up.
Really cringe. Do you know who does a great impression of Simon Harris? Brandon.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, it's so good. We should have got him to do it when he was in the studio. You know the way Simon's like, yeah, thanks for asking the question. You know, like, I can't do it, but Brandon does it so good. Also, did anybody see, so you know Seamus Lehan?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy. And he does loads of like political sketches. I love him. He's brilliant. He like takes the piss out of Simon Harris all the time. Like he's clearly a I don't want to say he's clearly a Simon Harris hater because he's probably not, but he takes the mick out of him, like, you know. And there's a couple of little digs thrown in there from time to time. Simon Harris went on some TV program and said he was his favorite TikToker. I'm like, why is the thoughts that Simon Harris watches TikTok is wild. Like, has Simon Harris seen my videos? Simon, have you? Well, actually, I stitched him one time, screaming at him. Did you ever see that?
No, I want to see his For You page, though. Imagine.
I deleted it after about 1 hour. I was like, I'm screaming at the Taoiseach of Ireland here. Like, I'm actually going to end up in prison. You know what I mean? I was like, Simon, nobody wants you as Taoiseach. I was such a hater. I can be such a hater, especially in politically. Like, see, the thing is, it's like all kindness goes out the window with me if it's politics. You know what I mean? Because I feel so passionate about it. But I can get myself so worked up. I take it back, Simon. Okay, that was hater behavior. I'm not a hater. But please stop being lifted up. It's cringe me out big time. I'm trying to think of other like key moments of the election. I'm really like, I feel like I'm just so traumatized by the whole thing. And, you know, my dad called it as well because I rang my dad and I was like, Dad, Sinn Féin have won the exit polls. Like, we're going to get changed. My dad was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. We've seen this last time. You're not. I'm just, has the new government actually been announced?
No, I think they're still working on it. But last I seen, I was watching, I think, the news last night and they were still discussing it. And
like, so, what have they got to discuss? What can be that for? This is all a show. They know damn well who they're going into. I'm going to call it right now, right here and now. It's going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour. That's going to be our government, guaranteed. So they're not discussing nothing. They're just sitting on their holes. This must be a part of the show for them, you know, just build up the suspense, make the people wait and see which governments are going to destroy the country next. That's the vibes that I'm getting.
Did you see the video of just talking about the funny moments of the election of Gerry Hutch running when they said to him, would you run again?
Yeah. Did you see who was that reporter? And he came up to him and he was like, go away.
Oh, yeah. That was RTE.
Yeah. The crime reporter or something. Like, why? Like, going around harassing him. And he's like, get away from me. Yeah. Leave me alone.
He was like, and it was gas because he, like, answered every single other station. And then seeing the RTE mic and was like, nope.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, lads, I was saying this to Lauren. I actually watched Gerry on Nicola Talent. And I really thought it was a great episode. So if you haven't heard that, maybe give it a listen. But I thought it was brilliant. It was very insightful and very, like, she really asked a lot of very interesting questions. I feel like this, do you know what? We get memes. Oh my God, no. We need to discuss this. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is back in the doll. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is back in the doll. In my, what's it called again?
Constituency.
Constituency. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is in my constituency. I bet yous are all jealous about that. No, he is probably one of the most iconic people ever to have stepped foot in the door. He really is. And do you know what it is? It's just the bravery of him. He actually pardoned himself before he said it. He said, I'm about to use very unparliamentary language. Fuck you, Deputy Stag. Fuck you. And he said it twice. Like, he committed to the cause. And then the Cian Corla. Then the Cian Corla goes. Oh, that is very unparliamentary language. Oh, it's one of, no, my other favourite one. Did you say, Lauren? Did I speak about this last week? It's like one of my favourite moments ever. Michael Healy-Ray and Micheál Martin having the biggest argument and he's like, cop yourself on there a fair bit now, Taoiseach.
I need to get the clips of these and insert them, I think.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
I have Fuck You Deputy Stag here, I think.
Yeah, no, I love watching the doll arguments. Like, I'm a weirdo. Oh my God, I don't know if you guys have seen this. There's another one where Mary Lou calls Leo Varadkar a liar. And the Cian Corla is like, that is unparliamentary language, Deputy MacDonald. And she's like, okay then, you're Pinocchio, a storyteller. I love it. It's so, I love all them. How have we gone from the election to this? Because fuck you, Deputy Stag is re-elected. I'm delighted. I'm so happy.
I have the clip here.
Well, all due respect, in the most unparliamentary language, fuck you, Deputy Stag. So, fuck you. I apologise now for my use of unparliamentary language.
That is most unparliamentary language.
It is the most unparliamentary language.
It's the fact that it's the fact he's going like fuck you. They're like, oh, that is very unparliamentary language. You know what I mean? Like, what is unparliamentary language? Like, what is that? Just rude language?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Oh, I'd be kicked out of the Dáil if I was in that every single week. Can you imagine me, lads? I wouldn't have a standard.
Every time I see moments like that, I always think, like, if other countries see that on their news,
yeah,
what do they think? Because do you ever watch, like, the BBC and you see stuff that goes on over there and you're like, Jesus Christ, yeah, they're idiots over there.
Yeah.
Imagine what they think about us with stuff like that.
We're like, especially, no, Lauren, look, I have to show you this one. I have to show Lauren. I have to show her the Michael Healy Ray because the accent just makes it even better. Like, he's from Kerry, but he has a very strong Kerry accent.
Relax, you need to relax a bit now. Deputy Healy Ray, Deputy Healy Ray, through the chair. I was reliably informed that, through the chair that Deputy Healy Ray approached people outside the mass to say, I can get you on the bus if you want a cataract. The woman concerned said,
you should take that deck. You're a disgrace. You're only in the bottom of the barrel now. Can we open that doctor's statement? And cop on a small bit, Taoiseach.
Could I just be in terms of... I relax.
Still screaming in the back.
I said, I'm not going to sit on that.
Town caller and not you. And conductor, God damn it, that's an awful thing to say. And
it's the truth.
It's not to be a joke. If somebody belonging to you was going blind, you wouldn't like it.
Calm down.
It's ridiculous. Like, imagine somebody in a different country. It's the accent just makes it funnier with that one. I think if Michael Healy Ray did...
Oh, round two.
Oh, sorry about that. If Michael Healy Ray didn't have such a thick Kerry accent, I don't think it would be so funny. Oh my God, no. We need to talk about this moment, right? Danny Healy Ray, which is Michael Healy Ray's brother, okay, he asked in the Dáil for a drink driving license, a permit to drink drive. I'm not even joking.
Have you ever heard something more Irish?
No, isn't it? He's like, for rural roads so that people can go and have pints in the pub and drive home. Like, when I imagine someone in another country, like, watching our Dáil talk about... Someone in our Dáil talk about making a drink driving license. Like, you know, we're in all these crises, but the hard hitting fucking issues is a drink driving license. This is why I love watching them, because you see some of the most ridiculous stuff ever. No offense to anybody that I'm laughing at here. I'm laughing with you, not at you.
But that used to be a thing. I remember when I moved over, fun fact for everybody that doesn't know, and yes, Niamh already knows. I moved over from England when I was 10.
I love that she had to clarify that I knew. Like,
yeah. It's not an outrage to her. She's forgiven me now at this stage. But when I moved over, I remember my granddad used to go to a local that was like a little bit further up the road, and he used to be able to drive. Like, he used to go up, have one pint and drive home. Like, that was legal back then.
Yeah.
Mad. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Sure, when I was younger, you could have like one or two drinks and then... drive home. Not that any of my family ever did that. but like, it is like now, I feel like we couldn't. We know better than that now. Like, where I live out in, like, I live in rural Ireland. Well, it's not rural Ireland because it is close to Drogheda and it is close to Dublin, but it's the sticks. Like, it's the middle of nowhere. And I think rural Ireland is technically only like the middle of Ireland, isn't it?
Oh, who knows?
I don't fucking know.
I think there's parts that we would consider rural.
Yeah.
And they're probably like massive towns, yeah, where like that's rural Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where I'm from, literally like 2 metres up the road from the pub, there's a huge big sign that says accident black spot. And it like says all the people that have died on the road in that spot. So I feel like we just know better than that now. So when I seen like a TD asking for a drink driver's license, and you know what else he said? He goes... sure, it's no different. He has a Kerry accent, so I'm about to do a really bad Kerry accent. He goes, sure, it's no different.
Go on, Niamh.
Sure, it's no different than having a big dinner and driving home.
Is that a Jamaican? Oh my God.
Cork. Oh my God. Fun fact. Do you know that the Jamaican accent comes from Cork?
No.
Because Irish, I don't know if they were slaves, whatever they were, okay? Irish, whatever, taught Jamaican people how to speak English. Did you never hear Cillian Murphy when he was younger speaking? He sounds Jamaican.
No.
He sounds Jamaican. That's where the accent comes from. That's why there's so many similarities between a Cork accent and a Jamaican accent.
Do I need to fact check this?
I swear. Go look it up.
Do you know what's funny, guys? Last week's episode, we fact checked every second thing we said on the episode. And the one thing we didn't, which was the bit about the pigeons, is apparently completely false.
I don't believe that. My friends were slagging me today because one of her, someone she knows, like breeds pigeons or something, or rares pigeons, not breeds them. Sindal, if you're listening, if I'm getting it wrong, I'm sorry. But she was like, Niamh, I'm telling you, they build nests. I can show you. And I was like, no, Google pigeon nest. It's just sticks. And then Bia, you know, Bia that was on the podcast, she was like, Niamh, you thought a pigeon was a magpie a few weeks ago. And now you know all about their nests. What research were you doing? Clearly not the correct one. Hold on, I'm going to show Lauren the Cillian Murphy Cork accent.
What's all this about, then, eh, man? Is this in the Olympics? Not a porno flick now, is it? I mean, a bit of respect for the people around. You want to knob the old doll. You want to flap the titties in the boy face. You do it shacked up in bed, okie dokie.
See?
He sounds a bit like one of the two Johnnies.
Are they from Cork?
I don't know where they're from.
I feel like a Cork accent is probably the most unique accent in Ireland, though, for sure. What's your favourite Irish accent, Lauren?
I think it has to be like real Northern, like Donegal or something.
Yeah, my favourite is Belfast or Derry.
Yeah.
I'm actually want to hear the two Johnny's voice now. Hold on one sec.
One of them definitely talks like that.
Back as usual in New York.
Lovely to have you back.
That one.
The 33rd county.
Yeah. Do you not think so? Yes, that kind of thing.
No, that does not sound like Cork. Is he from Cork?
Oh, if they're from somewhere else, that's...
Let me hear. Hold on.
Amazing community of Irish people out there.
Yeah.
Like, I know we've met Irish communities around the world, but she's...
No way. No way. They're too... Cork...
Oh, they're from Tipperary.
I knew it! Cork, well, I suppose maybe it's just Cork City is like the Young Offenders.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they sound like. I feel like I don't know what my accent is.
You don't sound like you're from the country at all. How many times have we said that on the podcast? But you really don't. Like.
But wait till you hear any of my family come on.
Yeah.
They sound a bit more, like my cousin in particular sounds quite culty. I don't know where mine comes from. I think it's just because of all the different places I've worked and stuff. I think my accent got muddled. And when I went to school in RD, I had a very strong RD accent. I was like, oh, RD, hi. What's up, bye? Well, no, that's Cork. We've gone back to Cork. But anyway, back to the election, girls. I feel like at this point, we just need to accept our fate and live for the next 5 years. I've seen so many people so angry on social media and I'm just like, I know I got a bit angry there, but I feel like obviously I'm angry. I'm especially angry for like my sister and, you know, other like young people that had to emigrate, like my sister being a nurse and not being paid a fucking living wage in the country that she's saving lives in, you know, is a joke. It's a joke to humanity. But at the same time, I feel like I just can't be angry about it now because I'll be angry for 5 years. That's a very long time to be angry. And my blood pressure's already through the roof with the fucking election results. Never mind worrying about what's going to happen after, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, mark my words anyway, it's going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour. I hope. Not that I hope. I just hope that none of the left parties go in with them. Like, I was kind of panicking a bit when there was a possibility of Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, because I was like, just please, that's not going to work. They're opposition parties, so they agree on nothing, number one. And number two, I feel like that would really, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people that would vote Sinn Féin might get annoyed by that because it's like we want to push the government out, you know? I don't know. Anyways, let's move on from the election before my heart rate goes through the roof. Girls, Spotify. Lauren, I have no podcast Wrapped. Where'd you find it?
It was literally just in Wrapped.
Why did I not get a podcast Wrapped?
Do you listen to podcasts a lot?
No, just mine. But I wanted mine, and I wanted to show mine as one and say I'm my own biggest fan.
It's so funny. I got two or three messages being like, I can't believe Unscripted isn't in your top, in your Wrapped. I was like, guys, come on now. Like, I listen to it as I record it. I listen to it as I edit it. I'm not listening back to it on Spotify. No offense,
No. What the hell? Why would it? Do they realize you edit the pod? Or do they think you just sit there scratching your bum?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just talk shit.
Yeah, Lauren literally edits the pod. So she's obviously not going to listen to it on Spotify Wrapped. I wasn't on my boyfriend's, so.
Oh.
He doesn't listen to mine. I tell him not to because Alex, if he hears me like saying embarrassing stuff about him, then he's going to be like, don't say that. And then I won't get away with it. So it's better that he doesn't listen. I can say whatever I want. He has no idea what I'm saying on here, girls. I could be spilling all of his secrets for all he knows. But yeah, my Spotify Wrapped was so basic. Well, it was basic plus rebel music. Like, that's literally what it was. Let me get
while you're getting that there. Yeah. I have a voice note from Brandon doing his Simon Harris.
Oh my God, yeah.
Thank you, Colette. Thank you for having me here. It's nice. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. No, that's shy.
Right. My Spotify Wrapped. Let's see. Okay. My top artist is Sabrina Carpenter. I feel like that's very basic, though. I feel like she's a lot of people's top artists. I played 968 songs this year. I feel like I didn't really... Do you know what I was thinking about? I didn't really listen to music this year.
What a coincidence. Mine's apparently Sabrina too.
Is it?
Yep.
We have the same top artist.
Mine's not the same top artist. My top song played was Espresso.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Think about me every night. Oh. Yeah, I feel like I just didn't listen to a lot of music this year for whatever reason. Like, normally my Spotify Wrapped is way more minutes and stuff, but yeah... I think last year it was like 50,000 or something mad like that. This year it's only 10,000 minutes.
10,000?
Yeah.
Mine's 6,000.
Oh, so maybe mine is high. Maybe mine was just exceptionally high last year. Maybe I'm being dramatic. Is there even 50,000 minutes in a year? Okay. I'm sure there is. Right. It says January was your Pirate Kaylee traditional Irish phase. What about Pirate and Kaylee did Spotify put together? I'm not getting it. Pirate Kaylee traditional Irish phase. What the fuck has Pirates got to do with Kaylee? I have no idea. You were really into artists like the Wolf Tones, the High Stool Prophets and Sharon Shannon. That was December, I think. Or no, that was January. Apologies.
I was going to say, we haven't even done December yet.
Yeah, that was January. Then, wait till you hear this. Listen to how they described Alex, right? April was your indie sleaze strut Irish hip hop season. You were all about artists like Versatile, Kneecap and Costello of Street Literature. Guys, by the way, if anybody hasn't heard, I love Costello has a song. It's called Pages of History. And Alex actually showed me this song. But if you're like very into like Irish history, you need to listen to this song. It is literally incredible. It's one of the best rap songs that kind of delves into history that I've ever heard. It's brilliant.
My September said it was my Pink Pilates Princess Catwalk pop season.
Yeah, I got that as well. I got that in September as well.
Yeah. And then for October, I think I got the same one as you.
Pyra Kaylee one.
No, Indie Sleaze Strut Irish Hip Hop. And it says Kneecap, Versatile and TPM. And I genuinely have no idea who TPM is.
Who is TPM?
No idea.
TPM, Lauren loves you. My top artist, number one, Sabrina Carpenter. Number two, Chapel Rowan. Number three, Olivia Rodrigo. Number four, Charlie XCX. And number five, The Wolf Tones. What type of fucking, like, the top four are all like, okay, yeah. Then The Wolf Tones. And it's Celtic Symphony. That's the song. I love Celtic Symphony. It's like my favorite song. Spotify Wrapped was later this year.
It was definitely was, wasn't it?
Yeah, normally it's October.
Is it? I thought it was November. But is like it November? Early November, I thought so.
Yeah, maybe it could have been. But yeah, I'm disappointed by my Spotify Wrapped this year.
Last year, for some unknown reason, and I promise you now, I cannot recollect listening to this artist once, let alone enough that she was my top artist. But last year, my top artist was Rihanna. And I have no idea why. And it was like that, my top song was like, you wanna make me feel
I'm the only girl in the world.
And I was like, I never listened to that song. But this year I have Dua Lipa, Kneecap, Childish Gambino, Tate McRae and Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh my God, guess what my dad just texted me? Remember last week when we were saying, guys, that my dad decided to book a holiday on the day of the election? Like, obviously, he already had the holiday booked, but he decided to go away on holidays while the election was happening. My dad literally just texted me there. One of the lads at work said, I got an awful hard time on your podcast over not voting. So who's ratting on me? That's what I want to know. Stop ratting on me, whoever you are. He called it a vicious and unwarranted attack.
We have a man listening to the podcast. Tell him to send in some dilemmas, man.
There's no way. Hold on, let me ring him one sec. Hello? What? Who told you?
Those other lads that worked at it.
No, they didn't.
They did. One of the lads that worked at it.
One of the lads in work said that I was talking about you. So one of the lads you... Are you meaning to tell me one of the lads you work with listens to my podcast?
Are you still in the podcast, please?
Yeah.
You're probably recording now or something like that.
Yeah, I am.
I actually believe you.
I am. You're caught out now. Who was it? Who's the rat?
The lads in work did say that, so that's true.
So who's listening to my podcast in your work?
I can't say now because I'm on your recording.
Right, well, they're getting called out. They're a rat. Whoever it is. Is a... Right, goodbye. Oh, guys. Anyway, whatever rat my dad works with. No, I feel bad now because it's probably just one of his friends. You're not a rat. I'm only joking. Anyways, guess what's on my Spotify Wrapped? Do you know Europapa, Europapa.
Oh, yeah, from the Eurovision. Welcome or to didn't Euro- make it to the Eurovision,
I love
right?
That was my, like, I love Bambi. But that was my Eurovision. Like, I love Doomsday Blue. So that Doomsday Blue is my number one. And Europapa was my number two. I loved that. Like, how can they disqualify the song that is like the most European song in the whole entire world? Like, the, literally, the song is about celebrating the European Union and they disqualified him.
Wasn't it for some outrageous reason?
He pushed the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Israeli, like, news channels, I think, were sticking cameras in his face. And obviously, we know, like, the stand that Joust, I think his name is, and a couple of the other contestants had, you know, last year. So they started putting the camera in his face and I think they started asking about his dad, because in Europapa you see that his parents actually died or his dad died, I'm not sure. And they started asking him about his dad and he pushed the camera out of their face and they disqualified him. Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous, darling. But yeah, I don't have a podcast wrapped. I'm so annoyed. I do listen to the odd podcast here and there.
Mine was Talking Bollocks 1, Call Her Daddy 2. Do you ever listen to that? So true.
Call Her Daddy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, Niamh, it's so good. She just gets like the juiciest gossip from people. Like she had one of my favourite ones was she had on Miley Cyrus's mom and her sister. And
oh
they
my
were
God,
like,
because all that shit's going on with Miley Cyrus's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were on there talking about her divorce, like as the mom's divorce from the dad.
Yeah.
But like they were absolutely stoned to fuck on the podcast.
Were they?
Like, openly, like they were were saying it on the podcast. But it was such a good episode. And Megan Fox's episode is a really good one as well. So highly recommend.
Was she talking about drinking blood on that or something?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. She is fucking mad in her head. Yeah. Like,
she actually came from nothing, from what I remember. I think she said on the podcast, like she didn't come from money or anything. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, I'm weird. Like, I tend to like watch clips of podcasts more than actually listen to podcasts. If I do listen to podcasts, it's about like how a serial killer like murdered someone. Like, I'm psychotic, honestly. I fall asleep to that. Well, no, I actually have a confession to make to everybody. I don't fall asleep to murder anymore. I've moved past that. Now I fall asleep to, you know, them like ads that come up on TikTok for them. The real shorts. The like short films in the style of reels.
Yes.
I pay €20 a week for that.
Oh, wow.
€20. I actually realised, I was like, Niamh, that's €80 a month. But I fall asleep to them. Their acting is so bad. See, the problem with me is the true crime ones are actually too interesting. So sometimes I stay awake because I'm listening to them. So the real short ones, I fall straight asleep because the acting is so bad that I'm not interested and I fall asleep. And it works for me. I just have to have noise. I have to have noise when I'm going to sleep, or else if I actually get left with my own thoughts for like 1 second, I ain't never sleeping. I'm going crazy.
So you are literally paying people to send you to sleep.
Yeah, basically. Essentially, to tell me bedtime stories. It's just, well, no, because I go to sleep now. I'm sleeping now a bit after Alex at the moment. Usually we're on the same schedule, but Alex is on this mad health buzz. Like, what a fucking loser. It's Christmas, you know what I mean? Do that in January. But he's on this mad health buzz and he's decided he's going to go to the gym and he's going to do runs and he's going to eat healthy. I have to eat healthy too. Because of him. But in fairness, we got this like pre-made like meal thing where they like deliver the meals to you and they're actually delicious. But you know, I can't lie and say I'm not dying for an odd takeaway here and there. But yeah, he's on a health buzz, so he's going to sleep a bit earlier than me at the moment. I'm addicted to Fortnite, so I'm up all fucking till all hours of the night playing Fortnite. I think last night it was like 4:10 in the morning and then I got up at like 11:30. So I'm just pretty much exhausted all the time, but we're making it through. Speaking of Sabrina, sorry, she was your top artist, wasn't she? Or no, your top song.
Yeah, she was your top artist.
Yeah, I've got this wrong like 3 times. Did anybody see that apparently Barry cheated on Sabrina? But how the fuck does Sabrina Carpenter get cheated on?
Oh, stop. I know I would.
Who could fumble that girl? Like, that's insane. That is the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my whole life. And someone as well, right? No offense. I know a lot of people are very attracted to Barry Keoghan. But like Sabrina Carpenter, come on, sorry Barry, but like you're punching. But do you know what? If she had just heeded the warnings, all of us Irish girls could have told her. Mm-hmm. Like, this man is from Dublin. He's from the flats. Like, he's a messer. Like, you are not going to marry this man. We could have told him.
Do you know what was mad though? Which, well, I thought it was mad when I heard it today. That, like, he stayed like pretty much quiet about their relationship. Like, everyone knew that they were together. Like,
yeah.
He was at her concerts and all that. But then recently, because he was on the Louis Theroux podcast and then he was on another one. It wasn't a podcast, sorry. It was a radio show in England. And he was like gushing all over and all, you know, like basically making it official, you know, being like, oh yeah, like,
yeah,
you know, she's such a good woman and all this. And I was like, when the news came out then today, I was like, ah, here, like,
yeah,
you know.
But maybe that's why that he never actually like, because I suppose people were always kind of guessing, were they broken up? Were they together? Mm-hmm. There was a couple of different rumours of them breaking up.
A lot of people said it was because of his drinking as well, didn't they? They were saying that it was because of his partying and all that jazz.
Do you know what? How come every Irish person that gets famous, apart from Cillian Murphy, okay? How come every single one of them have to prove it right? Like, do you know the whole world calls us the drunken Irish and then yous all get reputations for having bad drinking habits and partying? You're not helping us. Like, for God's sake, Cillian Murphy, fair play to you. Fair play to you, because you've kept your nose clean. He has a wife and everything. Well, literally kept his nose clean as well, might I add. He has a wife. His wife is really beautiful. Have you ever seen Cillian Murphy's
yeah,
wife?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah.
Because I was only thinking the other day, who is the lucky woman that is married to that man? I had to look it up. He's honestly, I'm not being funny, I think Cillian Murphy has gotten better looking with age.
Oh, definitely. Age has done him like wonders.
Yeah. Yeah, I genuinely, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that has the features of Cillian Murphy. Like, it's like he was chiseled by the gods themselves. And this, just a man from Cork. Like, baffling. But yeah, I feel like, oh my God, there was someone else as well that I seen was apparently Irish and they're a celebrity. Ryan Gosling or something. Is he Irish?
No, I don't think. Well, unless he's like secretly Irish.
Do you know what? It's probably one of those like Americans that claim they're Irish thing.
Fact check number one. His ancestry is French, Canadian, English, Scottish and Irish. So basically he's not Irish, like he's
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, no, I hate when the Americans do that whole like I have 2% Irish, I'm Irish.
Do you know who I love? Michael Fassbender?
No.
He's Irish and he was in the Kneecap film.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he spoke Irish because he's fluent in Irish.
Oh my God, let me look him up. Is he like really handsome as well?
Yeah, I have him here.
But he's old. Like, he is old.
I don't think he's as old as you think he is.
I thought he's probably younger than 60 or something.
60?
Oh, no, that's not him. Who is the guy? I seen this guy the other
day. Michael Fassbender. That's Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, no, I wasn't talking about him. Sorry.
Okay, I was about to say.
I seen this guy the other day. It came up on my For You page and he was like 60 probably. And he has this really cute relationship with his wife. And he's from Navin. But he like moved at a really young age. But he's from Navin. Oh my God, he's in something huge as well. I can't think now, guys.
You're not talking about Paul Mescal, are you?
No, Paul Mescal is not 60. A lot of people are very upset. What is with the Paul Mescal obsession?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm not having a bad word spoke about that man. Recently,
what is with it, though, Lauren? Like the gas shorts, like people are falling at their knees now, over gas shorts.
I have homework for you, right?
Right. Give me homework.
Right. So regardless of all the Normal People stuff, right? I watch Normal People. I was obsessed with Paul Mescal because like, he did that show so good. Did you watch it?
No, but I've basically seen the show because I've seen all the clips. Of it.
You would love it. You would definitely love it. But anyway, was obsessed with him then. And then he kind of, you know, he went off and did his kind of few smaller Hollywood things and stuff. Like he was still on the scene, but he wasn't on the scene kind of thing. And then he obviously was doing Gladiator. Wasn't that fussed about Gladiator. Wasn't fussed about the first one.
Yeah.
But he's obviously doing loads and loads of press for the movie.
Yeah.
And oh my God, like that man can do no wrong. He's just so humble. Like people are like, how are you coping with like the fame and stuff like that, and he's like, he's essentially like, am I famous?
Yeah,
like, he's like genuinely humble. And on top of that, the amount of interviews he's done that have involved puppies, and he just loves dogs. So I'm like, oh my God, like he is amazing.
Okay, we've got a Paul Mescal super fan in the studio. No, he does seem really humble and stuff. What I mean though is, do you see these girls that are like buying O'Neill's gas shorts because of Paul Mescal, like girls in America buying O'Neill's gas shorts and everybody dying over O'Neill's gas shorts? That's what I don't get. I'm like, okay, whatever. But he does seem really nice. I liked his interview that he did. I'm going to get so many haters. Guys, I'm not hating on Paul Mescal, okay? I just don't get the gas shorts obsession because all these girls are dying, falling to their knees over Paul Mescal in gas shorts.
Don't forget she had all that hate a few episodes ago about the people in gas shorts as well. I called it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I seen an interview. Did you see the one he done about meeting the king?
Yes. And oh my God, like, yeah.
As an Irish person, it's not really on my list of priorities.
Yeah, loved that.
Did you see? Oh my God, just speaking of that. Did you see Cillian Murphy when he met the royals?
No.
So Cillian Murphy stood with his hands in his pockets. And fun fact, back when Britain ruled Ireland, they used to tell the soldiers, if you see in Cork, in his hometown, they used to tell the soldiers, if you see a man with his hands in his pockets, shoot him. So he stood with the royals with his hands in his pockets.
No way.
Iconic behaviour from our Cillian Murphy. Cillian gives me very, like, I think, I don't know, what's the word? Like, there's always political undertones with Cillian Murphy, I think. Like, he's very, have you seen any of the interviews where, like, it was an Israeli TV presenter insisted on calling him British. And he was like, no, I'm Irish. And he's like, yeah, British. And he's like, no, Irish. And he, like, keeps repeating it. And then him speaking Irish as well at the Oscars last year, I feel like there's kind of political undertones with him a lot of the time. I'd say he's very well versed in his history because the whole hands in the pockets thing was 100% on purpose. Like you could see that he was doing it on purpose.
He was trying to make a statement.
Yeah, exactly. And sure, it got recorded and got put everywhere with, you know, people saying this is because British soldiers used to go to Cork and shoot men with their hands in their pockets, which is wild. But
she's saying I'm a Paul Mescal super fan. I think we have a Ian Murphy super fan over here.
I did. Now, if Alex listens to this podcast, I'm fucked. No, I'm joking. But I was, do you know why Cillian Murphy's on my brain? Because I was looking up him and his wife the other night. They're so cute and she's so supportive and she has to deal with a lot of bullshit as well. Like you see a lot of like women coming up to him and being a bit too touchy-feely and she's just like, whatever. Obviously, they're very comfortable, but like, if that was me, I'd be clawing their eyes out probably. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't. I'm not a psychopath. But yeah, Barry and Sabrina, Barry Keoghan, you fumbled. You ain't never going to get a girl like that again, honey. You ain't. I just gotta say it.
And she's got so big as well.
Yeah.
I think like it has helped her a little bit with her association with him purely because he was coming up.
Yeah.
Then they kind of got together. And like obviously her music was on the scene, but not as much as it has been with her new album. And then because they were a couple then, like they kind of exploded and she then overtook him, I think.
Oh,
because he actually said in his podcast with Louis Theroux, like he kind of took a year off from filming and stuff.
Yeah.
That he wasn't on the scene. And like, I think that's why he kind of took a backseat and she then was like, ha ha.
Yeah, exactly.
So you made your money out of it, girl.
Yeah. And like, he's an idiot because I think it would have really helped his profile as well, being with her. Not that that matters, but like, there's so many pros to being with Sabrina Carpenter. Obviously, number one, she's fucking Sabrina Carpenter. Like, have you seen the girl? Number two, she's actually a really, really, really intelligent, interesting person. Like, I don't know if anybody has ever watched in interviews with her, but like, she's not. Like, she's interesting to listen to. And then number three, she's a fucking superstar. Like, who the fuck fumbles that, honestly? Barry, honest to God, love. Like, your stupidity came out there, honestly. But we all could have warned her. All of us girls that live in Dublin could have warned her exactly what she was in for. I love that I say this while I have a boyfriend from Dublin. Maybe I should take my... No, Alex, if you're listening, don't pull a Barry on me, okay? And then I just want to say, guys, because today it's the 4th of December today, by the way, guys, because we film a week in advance. But it's my nanny's anniversary today, my beautiful nanny. It's actually her anniversary mass right now and I'm not there. I'm not very religious. I actually don't like mass. I only go to mass if I absolutely have to, like a funeral. I'm just not very religious. And do you know what? I feel like I don't need to go to a mass to be close to my nanny. Like, I feel like she's with me. And also, I feel like, I don't know, I'm a very emotional person. I don't think I've actually ever really accepted that my nanny's gone. Does that make sense? So, like, going to mass and, like, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel like, for me, I'm just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to see nanny again one day. Like, I haven't, like, properly accepted that, like, she's gone forever, you know? So, I think that's probably why I avoid going to any of the masses and stuff, but I text my auntie. I was like, I'm filming my podcast today. Like, I'm not going to be at the mass. Nanny's going to kill me. And my auntie was like, no, she wouldn't give a fuck. So, but someone said to my auntie as well, I don't know who she said it was, but someone said to my auntie, how much nanny would love how much I talk about her on the podcast, that she'd be so proud. My auntie literally rang me right before I started recording to say that to me. But yeah, it's my beautiful nanny's, and it's not really a celebration. I was about to say it's her death anniversary. Like, on me about to be like, it's her anniversary. Yay, congrats. No, she's dead. It's her death anniversary. So it's sad. It's nothing to be celebrated. No, I'm going to make myself cry, so I have to move on. And I'm probably going to make my auntie cry, like her daughter, because she listens to my podcast. Tracy, I'm sorry. But yeah, I just wanted to say, Nanny, I love you. I miss you. I hope you're proud of me. I hope you're looking after us all. I know you are looking after us all. Guys, there's so many things that have happened in my family that it's like people were at the exact right place at the exact right time to like save other people and like save their lives. I don't want to say too much. It's not my business, but there's 100% like me and my auntie and my dad. Well, me and my auntie and me and my dad, I said it to both of them. We were saying it has to be nanny. Like, it has to be. There's just, it's too coincidental, some of the stuff that's happened. Like, one of them was that my dad literally like decided one day to call in to my granddad's. He wasn't supposed to call in. Like, he was just like, oh, I'll just call in. He was actually meant to come up to me. And then something happened to his car. Something broke in his car. So he was like, oh, I'll just go down to my dad's. And my granddad was literally like convulsing on the sofa, like, in an awful way, very, very sick, very ill, and probably could have got sepsis. He had a really, really bad infection and just got to the hospital right on time. So, you know, things like, that is so coincidental. Like, that has to be my nanny looking down and protecting us all. So, thank you, nanny. I hate Christmas, though, and I think we all miss my nanny at Christmas, because we used to have Christmas Day in my nanny's house, and it was iconic. Like, I remember my nanny sneaking me glasses of, like, my mom was so strict, so strict. I wasn't allowed alcohol at all. And this one, I was like 15 or 16. And my cousin was allowed alcohol, who was younger than me, because her mom was just like, let her have one. You know what I mean? And then she's not going to go out. Like, I used to go out in fields and drink all the time. My cousin never did that because her mom was like, let her have one with her dinner. Let her do it in an environment with adults. Like, teenagers are going to experiment, which is the right attitude, in my opinion. That's how I'll raise my kids. But my nanny used to sneak me. I remember one Christmas I ended up absolutely locked. Me and Emily did, because our nanny was sneaking glasses of Captain Morgan's and orange under the table. She was so cool. My nanny was like the coolest person ever, and I love her and I miss her. Guys, I also just want to say it's so surreal seeing like my name and our podcast coming up on the Spotify Wrapped and you guys tagging me. Thank you so much to the people that have been listening, especially because it's only been out, what, like 3 months? The fact that it's on people's Wrapped is insane. So thank you so much. I meant to say that when we were talking about Spotify Wrapped and completely forgot. But yeah, it's mad. It's crazy that people want to listen to me every week. So thank you. And hopefully we're still on your Wrapped next year. Right, guys, so we have our segment, Truth or Tattle. How many of these have I gotten wrong? Only one.
Only one so far.
Right, yeah. So hopefully today doesn't make it two. Let's see. Oh my God, did the girl from last week send you any more information?
No, not yet. Not
oh my
yet.
God. Girl from last week, what was her name again? I can't remember. I'm so sorry. But please, can you answer the questions? I need to know. I need to know the after. I need to know all of the aftermath. Even message me personally. See, this is what I told you. Remember when I said about Aoife? She just said she had a baby. She didn't give any more information. I think about it. See how I remembered her? I need to know. You just have to give me all the info, girls.
So this week's Truth or Tattle, we are going to keep anonymous. So it's our first anonymous Truth or Tattle. But this is her story.
So this happened when I was about 16. I was going out on a night out with my girlfriends. And then my boyfriend at the time was meant to meet me on a night out. So me and the girls got to the nightclub. No sign of him. He wasn't allowed in for whatever reason. So I ditched my girls and I went down to meet him. I know, very dick move. I probably only had about 2 drinks. So I was quite sober. And he was drinking a naggin of vodka with a friend of his, so he was already kind of drunk. So then me and him went walking, just the two of us, and this guy pulls up in a car who he had a love-hate relationship with. They'd be friends 1 minute, they wouldn't be the next, they'd be falling out and all this crack. So your man in the car dared my boyfriend at the time to down a bottle of Hennessy that was in the boot of his car. My boyfriend at the time, being the big man he was, did that. So he's mangled drunk at this stage, as you can imagine. So I am walking him back to where he's staying that night, and he needs to take a break because he is just in a bad way. And he is filling my head with so many lies. He's telling me these stories that I know are lies. He's making no sense. And it's just like I am losing my marbles at this stage. I just want to get back to my girls. And so then the guy in the car pulls up beside us again. And my ex tells us that his mother, who gave birth to him, like who has raised him his whole life, isn't really his mother, and that his real mom passed away tragically in an accident. And I'm like 16, me and this guy are looking at each other like, what the hell? So then he made your man in the car bring us up to the graveyard, and he got out and started crying at a grave in the graveyard, but would not let me into the graveyard. So, yeah, is that the truth or am I telling lies?
Okay, hold on. I'm so confused. So, was this man's mom not dead?
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it sounds like he was lying and she wasn't dead. That's true. 100% that's true.
She thinks so, yeah.
Yeah, because... Oh, it's not! You're trying to trick me!
No, it is the truth.
Oh, it is?
It is the truth. It is the truth. And not only is it the truth... This is our first Truth or Tattle that has a follow-up voice message.
Oh, there's a follow-up. There's more information. Yes, we love more information.
So that is in fact a truth. And that night I went down to my girls, two of them grew up with him their whole life. I told them this mad story. They were like, that is bull. They know his, like, they just knew that was bullshit. Like, they've been in his house, they've seen baby pictures, they've seen hospital photos, they knew this was a lie. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I meet him the next day, and he is such a manipulator that he actually manipulated me into thinking he was telling the God's honest truth. He stormed off, left me standing in the street. So then I felt really guilty for telling the girls this, because I was thinking to myself, oh my God, if this is true and this is a big secret, I'm such a horrible person. So I'm still going out with this guy for like until I'm like 18. So fast forward a little while, I get the courage to ask his dad about it because I'm really close with his dad. And his dad, in fact, tells me that it is all a lie and that this messed up little boy made this all up. Yep. And I have only told a handful of people in my life of that because it's a very small area we live in, like, but yeah.
Oh my fucking God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Men are psychotic. Like, what the actual fuck? What the act? Like, how did he not think that you were going to find out that that was a lie? Like,
why would you lie about that?
Why would you lie and say that? Like, what would have to take over your body to do that? Or was it a thing that he just got himself caught out? Like, he was drunk, said something so stupid, and then was like, how do I come back from this? I just have to go along with it. But, like, the fact that, like, I want to see, I still want to know more information. I want to know what the dad's reaction was to this boy unaliving his mom in his brain. I need to know, like, what the fuck? I swear to God, guys, that is probably one of the most messed up things that I've ever heard. Like, the fact that, do you know what makes it worse? It's like, that was his girlfriend. Like, she obviously was going to meet his family. Like, what if you met his mother? Like, did you meet his mother? Like, we need to know. What did he say? That he was adopted or fostered or something? Oh my God. Oh my God.
And that's not even the sort of thing that you would feel comfortable. But I don't think so anyway. Like, bringing up to the mom, like, you know, even if you're with the guy like a year or two, I wouldn't anyway. I don't know about you.
No, definitely not. That's why he probably banked on her not finding out. Because, like, is she going to go in and be like, hey, like, is your wife dead? You know what I mean? No, like, you know, or, oh, hey, is your son adopted? Do you know? Like, what a fucking weirdo. You, it sounds like you're not with him anymore. Well, yeah, you called him your ex, but Jesus. And the fact you were under 18 as well, like, I wouldn't even beat yourself up about believing it, because I feel like when you're that young, like, some of the shit that men made me believe when I was younger, like, your brain isn't developed and you just believe whatever they tell you, really, don't you? Oh my God, what a psycho.
Really appreciate the follow up voice note though. Really like that. We need more of these.
Yeah, we need more where we, like, find out the rest of the story and we find out all the intricate details, because I am nosy. I love gossip. So fill me in, girls. Speaking of gossip, we have our dilemmas. I'm in the mood for some mischief. So hopefully they're juicy this week.
Okay, so your first dilemma says, hey guys, this week I'm coming to you with a dilemma. Basically, I'm having trouble with going on nights out. To give a bit of background, I suffered with severe social anxiety in my teens and never went out to pubs or house parties in secondary school or experimented with alcohol because of it. I got my issues sorted about a year and a half ago and faced my fear, but still rarely went on nights out because I was okay with not going and it didn't interest me. However, since I've come to college, it has become a huge issue for me again. I'm in a new county, so going out is very daunting, especially the fact I have no mammy here to ring to collect me when I'm not feeling it and don't feel safe going home alone. The thoughts of nights out have me in a genuine panic and my stomach turns anytime someone mentions the possibility of one. My parents think that there's something wrong with me, but as much as it is an anxiety problem, it's also preference because I don't enjoy clubbing. I don't want to be the boring one who never goes out, and I don't want to have an anxiety problem about nights out for the rest of my life, but at the same time, I have no interest in becoming the person that goes to every college night out. I don't know how to get to a place where I can pick and choose when to go and it doesn't cause me chronic anxiety. The only time I feel 100% okay on a night out is with my boyfriend, because I feel protected with a boy and I know he'll drop everything and leave a nightclub if my anxiety gets the better of me. However, he is in a different county, so I wouldn't be going out with him as much. I don't feel like I have any friends in college who I could 100% depend on. Any advice on what I should do in this situation?
Do you know what? I feel like if you're even feeling that way, do you know what? I feel like there's such a pressure on people now, to go out, party, it's part growing up, it's part having fun, to the point where like now clearly you're somebody that maybe doesn't enjoy going out and you're being made feel like it's like a negative thing. Like for me personally, I don't like going out. I don't like drinking. We all know that. When I do do it, I go over the top. And do you know what really helped me was just realizing that I don't have to do it. Like if you feel comfortable going out with your boyfriend, that's what you feel comfortable with. Like you don't ever have to put yourself in a situation that you're not comfortable with to A, appease others, or B, to try and get over anxiety, because sometimes you just can't. You know what I mean? And it's better off to just not put yourself in positions that make you uncomfortable in the first place. But yeah, like that's the only advice that I'd give. I was about to be like, but if you really want to go out, but it sounds like you don't really want to and that you'd probably be happy enough not doing it. But I know in college as well, there's this pressure because it's like the social aspect of it and the socializing. So I get it. Like I totally 100% understand. But for me personally, I would say if the nights out that you're comfortable going on are the ones with your boyfriend, then stick to them ones. There's no shame in that. There's no harm in that. And I think it's very understandable as well as a girl why anybody would have anxiety on a night out or feel, you know, safer going out with their boyfriend. Like that's completely understandable. Yeah, I suppose if it's a thing where you're like, I don't want to miss out with my friends and I want to try and go out, could it be a possibility to just go out and have one, or go out and not drink? Because I feel like alcohol is a big factor in anxiety, even if we don't realise it at the time. Like now, I go out a lot now and do things that maybe I would have drank at before sober. And I realise I have so much of a better time. Like I was, remember I told you about the Be Perfect X and Olivia event. Normally I'd be absolutely buckled by the time I even walked in the door, and I did it completely sober and I had the best. It's one of my fondest memories of any event that I've been to. So yeah, that'd be my advice. I feel like that's a tough one because it's kind of, there's a catch 22. There's like, I'm going to tell you, like I'm 27 now. You don't have to go out. You don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. And you're not going to be uncool in college because you didn't go out and drink. You're going to be fucking smart because you're going to not be hungover all the time. But I know there is that social pressure, I suppose, to do it. So if it is a thing where you're like, I don't want to feel excluded, I don't want to feel like I'm left out and I don't want to miss out on things, I would say just don't drink and see, does that help your anxiety? Because I think a lot of the time it is alcohol that causes anxiety.
So the next dilemma says, hey, Niamh, I love listening to your podcast every week, so thought I would send in a dilemma. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years now, and I've noticed that his friends have distanced themselves from him over the last few months since we've left school. My boyfriend jokes about having no friends because he's with me all the time, but I know deep down it hurts him as he has always had the same friends for years. I don't want my boyfriend to lose his friends because of our relationship, but I don't know how to handle the situation. Please help.
Okay, this one's like a hard one to answer because just in my opinion, like if someone's like friends are distancing themselves because he has a girlfriend, then they're probably not friends in the first place. And I know that's like horrible to hear, but like that's just how I think about it. But this one's hard because there's not a lot of information given. Like, is it a thing that he never sees his friends or he never goes out to his friends and he's just always with you? Because if that's the case, then maybe you could just encourage him. Like I know when me and my boyfriend started seeing each other, both of us kind of spent all of our time with each other and we never wanted to leave the house or do anything. And we used to encourage each other, like go out with your friends, spend time with your friends, because it's really important as well in a relationship. I think anyway, that like the girlfriend also has a good relationship with the friends and they don't think that the girlfriend's like stopping them from seeing, you know what I mean? You just get what I mean. So yeah, I suppose the only advice really that I'd give there is A, if he is still seeing his friends and they've just distanced themselves because he has a girlfriend, then I would say they're not really his friends in the first place. And I would really struggle with giving advice on this because honestly, I'm not a man and I feel like men's brains are just so goddamn different to girls. I feel like we don't get them. They don't get us. But number two, maybe just encourage him to go out. If he's not spending enough time with his friends or he's not seeing his friends, maybe just go out and or maybe just encourage him to. maybe just tell him to spend time with his friends and kind of give him that push. Because sometimes when you're really happy in a relationship, that's all you want to do. You just want to spend time with that person. And your friends might think that they're being neglected and forgotten about, or that the girlfriend's stopping him from seeing them, or, you know. So if you maybe gave him a bit of a go out and see your friends, maybe then he'd be more likely to. But yeah, I feel like, sorry, that's shit advice, but I can't. Do you have any, Lauren?
Not really anything that you haven't said. Like, I know a few years ago, we had stuff going on in our relationship with family and stuff. And like, I kind of cut myself off from the girls and stuff. And like, Graham was kind of pushing me to start seeing the girls again. And
yeah,
and thank God he did, because I think I went about a year I would say about a year, like, without seeing them, like, pretty frequently.
Yeah.
And we've all only really, like, properly reconnected then in the last kind of 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing that ever happened. So that could really be the answer, what you said there. Like, you know, just to really try and encourage him to go out with them. And if it is a case that he doesn't want to be separate from you, you could organise maybe some of them have girlfriends as well. You could do like a boyfriends and girlfriends night. So like, that's always an option too.
Yeah, because me and Alex do that. Like, me and Alex had spent, like, we do like drinks a lot of the time with all of us, like boyfriends, girlfriends, friends, everyone together. And that's a good way as well, because a lot of the time as well with boys, I feel like maybe they just don't warm to the girlfriend. But a lot of the time it's actually the boyfriend's fault, because they don't bring the girlfriend out to the boys. They don't, you know how boys are, like, they're fucking herd mentality, like, you know, no offense, but they're sheeps. So yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe exactly what Lauren said. I think this is a difficult one, like, for a girl to answer, because men are just, they're in a world of their own, I feel, you know.
So then your last dilemma says, hey, Niamh, just want to say congratulations on the podcast. It's absolutely great and I listen every week. For a girl from a small town in Drogheda, and now look at you, you're absolutely smashing it. So I'm 25 and my boyfriend is 26. We live in his house in Meath, as I work in Navan and I don't drive just at the minute, so it's just easier to get to work. His mom is hard work. She gives out about him to me and is constantly on about money. She's absolutely money mad. I do all the cooking, cleaning and washing for everybody in the house and I get no thanks for it. I know people will say just move out, but we all know rent is absolutely crazy. We are saving for a mortgage, but it'll be at least another year and a half. I feel like I should just want to scream and shout at her, but I can't. This is only the half of it. I'll be writing all day if I told you everything. Please give me some advice.
Oh, do you know what? I actually really pity you in this situation, because, like, I feel like if that was me, I would feel exactly the same way you do, where I would not. If Alex's mom is listening, I love you. I'm not saying I'd feel the same. I'm very lucky with my mother-in-law, but I know not everybody is as lucky as me. And if I was in a situation like what you're explaining, I would probably want to kill someone, genuinely. And it's a difficult situation too, because obviously you're saving for the mortgage. You can't just move out. But I presume as well, if you're saving for a mortgage, on your list of priorities probably isn't to, like, get a mobile or something that you could put in their garden. So it's a difficult one. You're kind of just stuck in the house. But I feel like the only way, really, to resolve something like this is to communicate. And I honestly don't feel like you should have to communicate anything either. It's, at the end of the day, you're with her son, and the blow is going to be a lot easier from her son than it is with you. Because the issue then, I suppose, is it could cause tension for the future or down the line. You know what I mean? Personally, for me, I don't know. I think you just have to communicate how you're feeling, even to your boyfriend. And, like, if why is the boyfriend not saying anything? Because I'm guessing you have told the boyfriend this. Sorry, I go mad every single week over the boyfriends. But why has he not said anything to his mom? Been like, lay off her, or say thank you? Or is the boyfriend included in this? Nobody's thanking you for anything. I need to know. Maybe a really good thing, and I know this is so cliche, but I feel like it helps in so many scenarios to write down your feelings. And journaling can really help, especially in a situation where you feel like pent up anger. Because I know if that was me, I would have rage. I would be enraged and I would need to get it out somewhere, and then I wouldn't be able to, and it would just get worse and worse and worse and worse. So I suppose maybe writing it down, journaling is a really good idea. Number two, I think you need to speak to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend needs to say something to his mom. Like, at the end of the day, you deserve every bit as much respect as everyone else in the house. And if you're doing, you know, chores and doing work for everyone and doing things for everyone, thank you is the least that anybody should be saying to you. And then I suppose another thing is just stop doing it. Like, I think that's another thing. If you stop doing it, people will appreciate what you do more. Like, same way I always say, you know, when people write in, they're like, my friend's being weird with me, she's not talking to me, I'm like, okay, stop calling her. I feel like if you just stop doing it, if you're not being thanked for it and you don't feel appreciated, make your own dinner, clean your own clothes, and that's it. And then watch how quickly everybody will be very, very thankful to you again. I feel like that's probably the best thing to do, honestly. Because if that was me, I'd probably be like, well, do you know what? Fuck yes. Especially if you're paying to live there. Like, you don't need to be doing all the added extras. Like, you're paying to live there. It sounds like you are because you said that she's money mad and she's always on about money. So it sounds like you're contributing, you know? So yeah, maybe just stop doing it. Look after yourself and you, yourself and I, and that's it. You, yourself and you, not you, yourself and I. Lauren, what do you think?
No, I 100% agree. Just go petty on it. Because, like, if he's not willing to stand up for you, it's like, feck it, I'm not doing nothing for you then. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
If that is the case, of course. If you haven't said it to him, 100% say it to him. It won't, without a doubt. Because as always, I think no matter what relationship you're in, whether it's your first one, whether it's your second one, whether it's your fifth one, like, there's always that, like, hump you have to get over with the mother-in-law, isn't it? And especially with boys, if they have that connection. Oh, you've said before, Alex is a mommy's boy, my boyfriend is a mommy's boy.
Oh, especially if they're like a mommy's yeah. boy. Yeah.
You have to do a little bit extra smoozing, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm genuinely, and I'm not just saying this, I don't think she even listens to the pod. I know she has listened to a few episodes, but I'm very lucky. Alex's mom is quite cool. You know what I mean? Like, I obviously was really scared going in because I did OnlyFans as well. Remember that when me and Alex got with each other. So, like, realistically, what mother wants their son with a girl that does OnlyFans? Let's be so for real. But she was always so, she actually, but right but the day before she met me, she watched a Pamela Anderson documentary. And then she met me and she was like, you remind me so much of Pamela Anderson. But yeah, definitely. Even if, like, Alex's mom has always been so good to me, so lovely. Like, she housed me and Alex. She has done so much for both of us. But definitely even going into meeting her, I was way more you're really nervous with boy moms. Because a lot of boy moms can be very, very overpowering with their sons. And that's the case a lot of the time. And I've been with men before that are like that. Like, my very first boyfriend, his mom just never liked me. I think it's because I was very shy. Like, I didn't go in and be like, hi, how are you? Like, I'd just be like, hi, and then go upstairs, you know? And there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than feeling that way. And the only thing, maybe what I've done differently from then to now is with Alex's mom, I really made an effort to, like, get to know her, build a friendship with her. I think it's really important to build a friendship with your mother-in-law. And if you build that friendship and that trust,
they respect you more.
Yeah, if you make an effort. Because do you know what? I think it's two-sided. Like, I do think it's two-sided a lot of the time. We're not talking about this dilemma anymore. We've gone on a tangent, by the way. I'm not saying it's two-sided for you, by the way. But a lot of the time it is, there's two sides to the coin. Because in scenarios where I've been like that before, I think back and I'm like, I made no effort with her. Like, I didn't make any effort with her, and that's her son and she loves her son. And obviously, why is she going to like me if I'm not making any effort with her, kind of thing? Whereas that's what I love Alex's mom. I talk to Alex's mom. I text her if something's going on in my life. I communicate with her all the time. And I feel like that's probably the difference. I think that just comes with age as well, though, doesn't it? I don't know.
No, 100%. I think that has come up, I think, in a lot of the dilemmas that we faced before, like that you just, as you get older, you just get that so much wiser.
My advice is to honestly stop doing it, number one. And number two, give your boyfriend a kick up the hole and tell him to go and speak to his ma. Because you can't. If you do, you're going to be the wicked witch of the West. He has to do it. That's it. Like, tell him to grow up and speak to his ma. Okay? That's my advice. Right, lads, I'm yawning, so it's time for me to go. I've had to work my brain too much now for speaking for an hour, and I'm very excited to go home and play some Fortnite. So it's time for me to go. As usual, guys, if you have any truth or tattles, please, can you send them in? And Lauren's going to tell me to say, we need tattles. Stop telling the truth, everyone. God's sake, I know yous are good liars. Make use of it. So if yous have any tattles, please, please, please send them over to us at our Instagram page at UnscriptedGoLoud. Also, if you have any suggestions that you'd like to see for guests or any topic suggestions, things that you'd like to see us chat about, please let me know. And if you have any dilemmas and you want me to answer any of your burning questions, send them over to us at our email, unscripted@goloudnow.com, or you can send them to our Instagram at unscriptedgoloud. Guys, every friggin' week I mess up that part because it's too many ats and unscripted and go loud and it's complicated, okay, for my brain. But I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day, whatever day you're listening on. Guys, I keep having brain frog. Brain frog? Right, I keep having brain fog, okay? It's time for me to go. I love you all. Mwah. Bye.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.